Well, thank you, Reverend Foster, for the words of welcome to Dromore. It's a privilege to be with you tonight and to share with you in your harvest meetings. And we appreciate the welcome. And it's good to see you in God's house tonight. And we do thank you for your interest in the work of God in Convoy and Donegal and for your prayers for us over these years. It's lovely to see the church so well decorated tonight. I always love harvest time. It's personally my favourite time of the year in church. And we always work forward to harvest in Convoy. But unfortunately, the way things are, we're in a different jurisdiction to you. And we're just not going to have the harvest as we always have had it in other years. We'll mention a wee bit about that in a moment or two. But do thank you for coming tonight. And we're glad to see you in the house of God. I want to thank Reverend Foster and the session, committee of the congregation, for giving this opportunity to us to give you a little report of the work of God in Donegal. Our church is Convoy, Free Presbyterian Church. It's about 7 miles across the border, 7 miles from Strabane, or going across, if you go know where Malvern Free Church is. Well, we're about 11 miles from Malvern Free Church. We're about 9 miles from Letterkenny, the largest town in the county, and we're about 2.5 miles from Riffo. Maybe you've heard of the Church of Ireland Diocese of Derry and Riffo. Well, there's a cathedral in Riffo, a bit like one here in Dromore, and it's the seat of the bishop. Our church has been in existence for about 30 years or so, and it continues to be a light for the Saviour in County Donegal. We have got very faithful folk in our congregation there. We've got very good people in Donegal. And folks, they're not my people. People or ministers sometimes talk about my congregation. Well, they're not mine. They're the Lord's flock. And the Lord has us there to pastor them, to feed them, help them along, teach them, and tend to them, just like a shepherd would tend to the flock. Lord's Day mornings, we have about 28 to 30 in attendance. Sunday evening, we have 20 to 25 in attendance. And we have 5 weans in the Sunday school. And then in the Bible class, we have 8 young people in the congregation. We don't have a youth fellowship for them, for not every Friday suits me, not every Friday suits them. We've tried it before, and there was nights I turned up and nobody there. And so we have a Bible class now when they come to church anyhow on the Lord's Day morning. Our children's meeting is very, very encouraging indeed. We don't have one at present because of restrictions in the south. But whenever we were able to have our children's meeting, we had 20 to 30 in attendance each Thursday. And in that, there's only 2 from the church in attendance. It's lovely to see them coming in from the district around. We would have a parents' night to finish off the season. And normally on parents' night, we'd have maybe 10 to 15 adults in the service. Our prayer meeting is Thursday night. We have about 10 in attendance. And our harvest meetings, we've said a little about them by way of introduction. Our harvest meetings are always the highlight of the year. People come out of the woodwork and come to church at harvest. And we would send out invitations to the harvest. We can't do that this year. Normally on a Sunday night, we'd have maybe 60, 65 in attendance. And on the Monday night, we would actually triple our numbers. We building is crammed full with about 90 in it. But we're not able to do that this year. You can appreciate if we had 90 people in the building, we'd break in every rule in the book. And so we're not sending out invitations this year. And we're just having Sunday services next Lord's Day, our harvest meetings. We do get visitors in, and we praise God for that. There's not a barrier, people coming. People come to missions and to special occasions. And over the years, there's been a very extensive outreach program in connection with the congregation. Every Christmas, there's about 1,800 calendars that are given out of the plough, those farming calendars. are given out in the district to every home in Convoy and Rafoe and Castle Finn and Killigordon as well. And it is a big undertaking. It takes a long time to do it. And you walk a lot of miles. And you certainly get to know people as well. And during the summertime, we were able to do outreach in Falkara. And Falkara is way up in the Gaeltacht of Donegal. It's near Dunfanaghy. And it's right on the Atlantic coast of Donegal. It's Irish-speaking area. And we had a good quantity of Dick Keogh's booklets, No Longer Hoping, in Irish. And we gave them out around. So they started talking to me in Irish. And, well, I had to admit I knew nothing about Irish. But I was given, had these booklets, and we were giving them out. It was very encouraging that day to have conversations with folks there in the Gaeltacht. You come into the Gaeltacht of Donegal, and maybe you're looking for a signpost, and you just can read nothing, folks. That's the honest truth. Every sign is in Irish. The names are in Irish above the shops, and it's another world. There's a people need the gospel, and they're on our doorstep. And we thank God for that opportunity that has been given. There's been many other areas of outreach done, like Manor Cunningham and St. Johnson, into Letterkenny itself. And the Youth Council have been with us on two occasions in the past, and God willing, they're planning to come to us next year in the month of July. Youth Council have come, and we have conducted our annual five-day club with them. We hire out a community centre in Convoy. There's about 20 children come along. We do a wee bit of football with them. We introduce rugby to them as well. It was unknown to some of them. And one wee lad from our church is now playing underage for Strabane. And we had a great time with them, mixing in with them and then bringing them into a meeting. Meeting lasts about 45 minutes or so. And we had the help of the young people on two occasions in the past. And then after the five-day club was done, we did open-air work in different districts of East Donegal. Many encouragements, folks, in the work in Convoy. There's too many to list to you this evening. Our people in church in Donegal are most faithful people. They're very reliable people. And sometimes, you know, folks can get disheartened in a wee work and they don't see much happening. But you know, those people still come and listen to me. And I don't know why. And it's a blessing. People will come and listen week after week, and they'll throw their lot in with you. Those folks are glad that there's a witness there in Donegal, and they support it well. With many encouragements also through hospital visits. I always wear the collar, or I would try and wear the collar on a hospital visit down south. It has many advantages, because that's all that the locals see the clergy wearing. Priest, I'm often, hello, Father, how are you? And, you know, folks, it's been a witness, I have to say, on many, many occasions in hospital. I just don't have time to go into what happened in Galway. If you need major surgery and your patients are from Donegal, well, there's no acute hospital in Donegal. And the one in Sligo is not an acute hospital, so they send you to Galway. And it's a wild journey. And if you're heading down to do a hospital visit, well, it takes your whole day. I can remember on one occasion heading to Galway, I got a phone call about 3:30 in the afternoon. Didn't know this wee woman had taken seriously ill and was going for a big operation the following morning. So I thought I'd need to run that night. I landed down at hospital in Galway about 9:45 at night. All the wards, they're not numbered, they're named after saints. And so when I got, and I read and prayed with the wee woman from the church, after speaking to her, and the wee woman in the bed beside, she says, Father, will you pray with me? Went over and talked to her. Her name was Maureen. I could tell by the amount of tubes coming in and out of her that she wasn't great shape. And we asked her some general questions about her family and so on. She was from Clifton in Connemara, way out in the Gaeltacht of Donegal, or of County Galway. And we had a few wee tracts with us, and we gave her one. There's a picture of Holman Hunt's picture in the front of it, painting of Christ holding the lantern at the door. And the tract's entitled, I Am the Door. She saw this as a wee holy picture and she kissed it. And then we started to tell her how you can make your confession. And she listened. She says, I'm sorry, I have no money to give you. She says, I'm not here for money. And we witnessed to Maureen, told her how she could have her sins forgiven. And that night, folks, before we left the hospital in Galway, a wee woman from Clifton asked the Lord into her heart. You know, the following morning, she was wheeled out of that ward. And that was life over. Her last opportunity. I could relate the same about the Beaumont in Dublin. A wee man who would have come to us on Sabbath evenings, on special occasions, not saved. But we went down to see him in the Beaumont, and that night we pointed Tommy to the Lord, and we were actually in the lift heading down to the car park out of the Beaumont, and this wee lassie was in the lift with us, and she says, Father, you wouldn't go and say a prayer with my mother. I said, certainly, what ward she in? So we went back up the lift again and into the ward, and that wee woman was a gypsy woman from Drogheda, surname of McDonough. And again, the same thing that night. The soul pointed to the Lord. You know, folks, we could tell of five occasions in Letterkenny Hospital the same thing. Father, will you have a word of prayer with me? Same thing about St. Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar. Really, all of Ireland is our parish, folks. We're not trampling on anybody's toes. And we've done hospital visits in Portuncola. Portuncola Hospital in Ballinasloe in Galway, Hermitage in Lucan, the Mater Hospital in Dublin as well. And so if somebody's sick in Donegal, you'd never know where they're going to end up in hospital. There's outreach annually in Glenties. Glenties is a little village out in the west of Donegal, again, it's in the Gaeltacht. And there's all sorts of scrap for sale that day. It's just people will come and throw a rug on the floor and they'll just heel a bag of tools out across it. And there could be hammers there, japped in concrete. And they've gone walkies from somebody's yard. I can remember another fella, and he had two chainsaws at a stand. And there were a steel chainsaw. One of them was spelt STIL, and the other one was STIHL. I remember asking which one's genuine. Pile of gypsies about this fair in Glenties, but with a wee gospel presence at it. And remember, a good number of years ago, we used to go with 1,000 calendars to it. Just a couple of years after that, there was a tremendous hardness. We feel that the priest was warning the people. Now it's about 300, that's about the height of it, that you would get out at the Glenties fair. A tremendous darkness. You can really sense it in the area there in Glenties. We're involved also with the Plough and Outreach. That's a separate meeting altogether. I'm not here to tell you about the Ploughing tonight. That's a separate deputation meeting. We're also involved in the Consider Christ Outreach. When it was going pre-COVID, it was a bi-monthly outreach. We've been to many, many towns in Ireland. We've been to Tralee in County Kerry and had two gospel meetings there. Two separate outreaches to Waterford City. Been to Ennis in County Clare, Portlaoise, Athlone, Carlow Town, Galway City. Has been covered in outreach in four separate gospel meetings in Galway City. Dublin. Well, where do you start when you go to Dublin? Greater Dublin, like a Swords and Blanchardstown, have been covered. South Dublin, like Dunleary and Blackrock. And we think of Balbriggan as well. In the north of the county, we've been to Navan, Mullingar, Sligo, and County Sligo. Every town and village in County Sligo has been covered in Consider Christ Outreach, been to Westport and Castlebar in County Mayo, Roscommon County has been covered. And we thank God for all of these opportunities. And there's a few folks have been saved as well. You know, folks, through Consider Christ Outreach, roughly 34% of the Republic of Ireland's population has been given the gospel. And that's tremendous. And I would encourage you folks in Dromore, next time there's an outreach organised, to get on board. Just to come down and be a postman or a postwoman for the day. Given your wee map and go round an area with other folks, and you just letterbox the houses and on you go. And you'll get your food at night before you come home. It's a wonderful outreach indeed. We've had many missions in connection with the church, in convoy, in the church itself. We erected a little portable hall in a mission for a mission in Castle Finn, another one in St. Johnson, another one in Clady, and we've had children's missions many, many times in the church itself. And then there's a little outreach work in South Donegal, Ballymacorty. It's just a little hall in a townland. It's about 6 miles from Donegal town and about 4 miles from Ballyshannon. And in our time there, there's been maybe about 9 missions have been held in Ballymacorty. But you know, since COVID has come, those meetings have not restarted again. And we're just waiting to see how things will go. We have an annual meeting also in a little mission hall in Milford in North Donegal every September, and we've had many opportunities to preach in different places. Donegal and Ireland needs a move of God. Ireland needs the Saviour, folks. There's a great need to be like Ezekiel. You'll read about Ezekiel in the prophecy that he wrote, how he was a watchman unto the house of Israel. A tremendous need to be a watchman unto the house of Ireland and to tell them whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. We think of what Ezekiel said, or what was told to Ezekiel in chapter 20 of his prophecy, verse 46. Set thy face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south. Friends, that's the Lord's directive to the prophet Ezekiel. I believe the Lord would direct you and me that way as well. Think of the missionary hymn that's sometimes sung, number 682, verse 4, where it says, place the food within their reach. William Freel, the old Puritan from a bygone day, said, and with this we're finished, God's word is not just for domestic consumption, it's also for export. You think, folks, of many years in the Free Church, there was maybe an animosity towards the South, and there's many as an individual says, I'll never set foot there. And we've kept the gospel for domestic consumption, haven't we? We need to export it. And I thank you, folks, for your interest in the work of God in Ireland, like the rugby anthem. I love the game of rugby. I would try to get down once a year to an international, a Six Nations game. And also in the autumn internationals, we've seen New Zealand play, South Africa, New Zealand, and Australia. We need to answer Ireland's call, don't we? Ireland's call is coming. It's in our ears tonight, folks. We need to answer Ireland's call. And I trust, folks, that the Lord will send the increase, and that we'll be exporters of his word to the folks across the border. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your interest. And we trust that God will bless you in your witness here in Dromore for the Lord Jesus, and that his name will be glorified. I'd like you to turn tonight in the word of God to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And maybe your heart has sunk, for I hear that this was preached on yesterday. And you probably heard it better, folks, a better version of it. But we're looking at it I hope tonight from a different angle. And we're going to read from verse 24 of Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. It says here, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, Kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then let me go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. And they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. God will bless the reading of his word. We'll pause for a moment of prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this meeting. Thank you for bringing us to your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the harvest season. Lord, we rejoice in your goodness to us as a people. Thank you for your faithfulness and your promise given at the beginning of time, that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Thank you, Lord, for your provision for us. We can say, Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you tonight that we have a shepherd. Lord, we've been hearing about that in song. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And we thank you for the spiritual harvest. We pray that there will be a reaping in Dromore tonight, that the Lord Jesus will be magnified and glorified. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary's tree, that we might be ransomed and healed and restored and forgiven. We pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us, give us ears to hear. And if there's a soul here that knows not the Lord, we pray that you will come by tonight, and may that soul be rounded up like the lost sheep and brought into God's heavenly pen. Help us now, we pray, give help in the preaching of your word. Give that understanding heart. May the Lord Jesus be magnified in all things. We ask it in his name. Amen. The line that we are taking for our text tonight is found at the end of the verse 30, where it says, Gather the wheat into my barn. Here the Lord Jesus has spoken the parable of the tares and the wheat. And in verse 30, we note that at this stage in the parable, the harvest has come. The wheat was ripe. It was the time of the harvest. Verse 24, the sowing had already taken place, and over those months since the sowing, the crop had bred it, and it had grown. And the years of the crop had now budded, the colour had changed from various shades of green, then to various shades of yellow, then to dark yellow, ready for harvest. Green and yellow are colours that we often see during the growing season of a crop. And green and yellow are also popular colours of farm machinery that you would see on farms and with agricultural contractors today. Whether you're from the countryside here in Dromore or not, I'm sure if somebody was to ask you tonight, what colour is a John Deere? You would say, well, she's green and yellow. Maybe you're not from a farming background, but if you know tonight that a New Holland is blue, you know what a Massey's red, a Fendt. Fendt is dark green and with red rims, a Case. Well, she's dark red and black trim. And a John Deere is green and yellow. You know, friends, it's very interesting to note that the man called John Deere never made a tractor. He never made a combine. Not as because he was born long before there was ever such a thing as a tractor or a combine. John Deere was born in the U.S. state of Vermont in the year 1804. At the age of 17, he began to serve his time as an apprentice blacksmith. He set up his own business, and he moved his business to Grand Detour in Illinois in 1836. He became a very well-established blacksmith there in Illinois, and he opened his own blacksmith shop making tools like pitchforks and shovels. Most farmers at the time in the American Midwest on the prairies were using iron or wooden plows. And the rich Midwestern soil always stuck to the moldboard of the plow, and it needed constant cleaning. John Deere, being a blacksmith, solved the problem by inventing the first steel plow. That meant that there was no cleaning needed. And John Deere soon needed bigger premises whenever his plow caught on. He moved to Moline in Illinois to access the great railway network and also the mighty Mississippi River. By 1849, there were 200 plows being made a month. He needed bigger premises. He started manufacturing farm wagons, corn planters, and cultivators, and so on. And by 1857, the company was now making 1,100 implements per month. John Deere died in 1886, and his son Charles Deere then ran the family business. In the early 1900s, the corporation increased from the competition, of course, was there from International Harvester, or IH, as it was sometimes known, or just simply International. And John Deere expanded into the world's first gasoline tractors. Charles Deere died in 1907. Company began to expand, and in 1918, they produced the famous Waterloo Boy tractor at its factory in Waterloo in Iowa. And from there, John Deere developed into the world-famous brand that it is today. In Britain and Ireland, you know, folks, the main tractor way back in the 50s and 60s was maybe a Ford or a wee Massey. The older folks in the congregation, you'd remember the wee Brown, wee Davy Brown. She was actually red and yellow rims at that time. And Nuffield was another popular tractor at that time. And John Deere did not exist in the UK and Ireland then. You know, folks, from a standing point of zero in 1966, when John Deere was first introduced to these shores, John Deere started to climb in the sales market. 1966, both Ford and Massey owned about 32% each of the market share. That's 64% of all tractors sold in Britain and Ireland were either of those two makes. John Deere overtook both of them in 1996, and ever from that, John Deere has been the leader in the market as far as tractors are concerned in Britain and Ireland, with roughly 30% every year of the market. Their first combine was made in 1927 at Moline in Illinois, and in the early 30s, they developed a side-leveling system where they could harvest crops on a slope of a 50-degree gradient. In 2010, just 11 years ago, John Deere produced its 500,000th combine harvester. And in June last year, they launched their X9 series. Their flagship combine, friends, can cover 30 acres in 1 hour. That's enough to keep 7 Arctic lorries going. 45-foot header on her, and if you'd like to buy her, she's £850,000. And I don't think you'll see one of them around or more. You know, friends, it's machines like that that gather in the wheat into the barn. Nowadays, that's how it's done. Of course, it wasn't done like that in Bible times. But the principle of gathering the wheat into the barn, still the same. A combine today will harvest many different kinds of crops. It'll harvest wheat, and barley, oats, rape, corn, maize. It'll harvest soya, sunflowers, and rye, flax seeds, and rice, for example. Here in Matthew 13, the crop in question is wheat. And the harvesting operation would have been very, very different in Bible times. In verse 30, the call is made to the reapers to gather the tares and the wheat together, and there'll be a separating of them. The wheat will be gathered together, then the tares will be gathered into bundles to be burnt, and the wheat will be gathered then into the barn. This operation in Bible times would have been extremely labor intensive. You can picture perhaps a squad of workers, the reapers, and they're gathered in a face right across the field, and they are bent over, and they've a sickle in their hand, it's just a hooked knife, and they are swiping and leaving the handfuls for the next squad to come along, and they would gather them up into sheaves, bundles, to bring them home for two different processes of threshing and then winnowing. Here in our text for tonight, in the verse 30, it says, "Gather the wheat into my barn." And friend, here is the Lord's harvest. Jesus is applying the parable of the tares and the wheat to the end of the world. And there will be no deliberate dropping of the handfuls like there was in the days of Ruth, those deliberate handfuls of purpose that were dropped behind for her. Friend, there will be no deliberate dropping of the sheaves and the handfuls from God's harvest field. Having told the crowd the parable of the tares and the wheat, the disciples then come privately and ask the Lord, "What does all this mean?" And the Lord then begins to give them the interpretation from verse 36 onward. And the Savior clearly told them in verse 39 that the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels, and the field is this world in which we live. Verse 38, the end of the world is that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back accompanied by his holy angels, and he will command the reapers to bring in the harvest from the field of this world. And quite simply here, friends, the saved are likened unto the wheat, and the unsaved are likened unto the tares. And God says, "Gather the wheat into my barn." But the unsaved, the tares, gather them into bundles to burn them. In verse 42. You know, friends, Christ will bring his harvest safely home. It will be gathered into the barn of God's heaven. And it will be filled at last, and Jesus Christ will not be disappointed with his harvest. We read in Isaiah 53, a great prophecy regarding the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And it tells us In verse 10 of Isaiah 53, he will see his seed. Friends, Christ has a bountiful harvest. But it also tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 11, that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. His seed, those for whom he travailed and suffered upon that cross, the Lord will bring them home. And when they're all there, Christ will be satisfied, friends. Jesus Christ is that man who went forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And the Bible tells us he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Gather the wheat into my barn. Friends, what a great day of rejoicing that will be for the Lord Jesus and for the angels in heaven. Christ's sufferings on the cross were successful. And every last soul for whom Jesus shed his blood and made his life a ransom, they will be found. That sheep will be found. That grain will be brought in. The devil's policy in this world will be proven at that time to be most unsuccessful. He sowed the tares among the wheat. He sowed a false gospel into the hearts of men and women. He sowed false religion in this world, tried to destroy, tried to contaminate the field of the world. And he has done so in many lands. And friend, he has corrupted that ground in our land today. You'll know fine well of how the devil has distorted the way to heaven. And he has done so with many world religions. But in the end, friend, the devil will fail, because Christ will gather the wheat into his barn. And it's ripening for a glorious harvest. There will be rejoicing in heaven. And the Saviour's husbandry will be 100% successful. I'd like us to consider tonight the wheat in the barn here in the verse 30. As we break our text down, let's notice first of all the grating. The grating. Our text begins with the word but. But gather the wheat into my barn. The parable here is taught by the Saviour, teaches that both are growing together, and there will be a grating off between the good and the bad. The weeds are already identified, separated into their bundles for burning. The wheat is clearly identified, but the destination between the two is very, very different. How descriptive this parable is of things in our land today. In this world, there are all sorts of weeds growing by way of false religion. And in this world, in the midst of all the weeds, we have the wheat. And it's growing. It's growing in society all around where you live. It's all around you in your school. It's all around you in your community. It's maybe resembled in your family circle. It's so in your neighborhood, in your place of work. And friend, there will be a grating that takes place on that great day. And sadly, there'll be work colleagues will be separated off. And family members, neighbors and friends will be separated off. But God says at this moment, let both grow together. Many a godly parent desires that their unconverted children will be gathered into the barn. That's natural. That's what we want. That wife that got saved at the gospel mission, oh, she's praying that her husband now will join her in the glory land. She wants to see him in heaven. You're praying for your cousins. You want them in the glory land with you. You're praying for your work colleagues and your friends and your family circle. But friend, there'll be no tares in heaven. Do you know, if the Lord allowed that to happen, then that would be extremely bad husbandry on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God allowed that to happen, then heaven would be a defiled place. And heaven would be defiled because God allowed the dirt to get in. And the coming of Christ to this earth was a tremendous mistake. If the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to purify a people, and to purify their hearts, but dirt got into heaven. Then, friend, what Jesus did on the cross was a failure. And I say that reverently. But in our text, there's a but. When the Lord Jesus Christ gathers the wheat into his barn, he will do so because prior to that, there's a separating off in the verse when the tares are gathered to be burned. And I ask you a question tonight, friend. On which side of the but are you? It's the prayer of many in this meeting tonight, and maybe you're listening in online. It's the prayer of many listening in online as well, that people will never know, they're connected to you, what it's like to perish and to be gathered up in a bundle to be burned. There are no words in the English dictionary, friend. There are no words capable and sufficient to describe the horrors of hell for a lost soul. Summed up in verse 42, it says there, they shall be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, that's a day to be feared. A fiery future awaiting the unconverted. In verse 38, speaks of the tares being the children of the wicked one, simply means the unsaved. And friend, unsaved in this meeting tonight, heading for judgment. You know, the Bible teaches that the wheat are not heading in that direction. They'll be gathered into my barn. We think of the words of Revelation 21 and verse 8. Speaks of hell as being that place that burneth with fire and brimstone. And twice, the Lord Jesus called hell as everlasting fire. In Matthew 18 and 8 and Matthew 25 and 41. Hell is an eternal place of eternal woe. And friend, I wonder tonight which side of the but in our text in verse 30 are you? The grating. Secondly, let's look at the gathering. What a different gathering there will be for the gathering of the wheat into the barn. You know, it's great to see folks in church tonight at harvest. It's lovely to see people coming to God's house and to acknowledge God's provision for us in another year for our material needs. Harvest meetings are always a blessing. I personally enjoy them, and I'm sure you do as well. They come around annually in the church calendar. We always mark it, don't we? And people gather to give thanks to God for the evident tokens of his mercy. They're seen all around us tonight in this church. There's usually an array of flowers and vegetables, isn't there? Flowers, little artistic displays, maybe a little sign or two up here and there, and maybe somebody's done a wee bit of home baking, and somebody's done a wee display of tractors and so on. It's a lovely time of the year in God's house, and there's usually a visiting preacher and a singer, and when things are normal, there's a cup of tea afterwards. We gather in God's house to thank him for our daily bread, and it's right and proper that you and I should be here tonight to acknowledge God's mercy, his grace, and his favor. It's a blessing every Lord's Day to come to God's house as well as people gather for church and regular worship. You know, sometimes people travel a distance to get ready or to come to a place of worship. And before they come, they have to get ready. We get ourselves ready, don't we, at home to come to God's house. We get scrubbed up. We make an effort to come out to worship the Lord. But you know, friend, the greatest gathering of all will be the day when the Lord gathers his wheat together in his barn. We often sing the words of that hymn, don't we? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. There's a line in that hymn that says, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Friend, there will be a gathering. Jacob in the Old Testament prophesied of that gathering, the gathering unto the Lord Jesus in Genesis 49 and 10, when he said, unto him or unto Shiloh shall the gathering of the people be. Gathering of the wheat would be in its proper place by that time when the Lord congregates his congregation together. And friends, it will, the crop will be clean. That mandate has already gone out to the angels to gather in the wheat. What about the most honest and diligent church-going person here in Dromore? Religious, diligent in their prayer life, upright, morally sincere. Will they be gathered into God's barn? The only way they'll be gathered into God's barn, friend, is being born again. Saved by the redeeming grace of God, having their sins forgiven and their sins washed and covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope, folks, for being gathered into God's barn. That's why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. He came as our substitute, to die in your place, to die in my place, to shed his blood upon that tree, you and I might be saved. We think of the words of Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 8, when he says, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And friend, I tell you tonight, honestly, there is no other way. Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures. He shed his blood that you might be a ransomed soul. And I wonder tonight, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? This parable, there's two separate gatherings, a gathering to be burned and a gathering into the barn. We have already seen under the first point the awful gathering of the wheat and the tares and the unsaved. But what about the gathered wheat? What about the saved folks? You know, friends, this evening in Dromore, they will be gathered from great distances. Some of God's wheat ripened in the islands of Fiji and the islands of the South Pacific. I'd encourage you to read the history of Fiji. Prior to missionaries going to Fiji, they were just simply naked, savage cannibals. And yet the gospel changed Fiji. If you watched the Olympics from Tokyo back in the summertime, the Fiji men's sevens rugby team, they won the gold medal. What did they do when they won? You can look it up on YouTube, on the internet. And they gathered in a huddle and they sang a hymn in Fijian and in English of praise to the Lord. What a change in Fiji. You know, friends, God will gather his wheat from afar. The people from Vanuatu and the South Sea Islands, they'll be there. Australia, praise God, they'll be gathered in from Australia. You think of the wheat that has been gathered in already through the work of the mission board in Pakistan. That wheat that ripened in rural Uganda, away and up the backward river of the Congo, they'll be gathered in. Some of that wheat ripened in liberal Sweden. Some of that wheat ripened in secular France. Some of it ripened in the big American cities and the prairie regions of the American Midwest. Some of it ripened in the Amazon jungle. And some of it was found among the mountain people of the Andes. What about closer to home? Well, people from Donegal will be there. And the little hills of Monaghan, as Big Tom used to sing. They'll be there from Cavan. They'll be there from the Lakelands of Fermanagh. The mountains of Mourne and the rural areas of County Down. Orchard County of Armagh, they'll be there from Dublin's fair city. In the Kingdom County of Kerry. In the rugged hills of Galway. Cork on the Lee. Friend, they'll be there gathered in from all over our island home. There's scarcely an area of Ireland tonight where God doesn't have his wheat. We've seen that in Consider Christ. We've seen that on the ploughing outreach. And God's angels will gather in the little ears, the individual ears from palaces, and they'll gather armfuls from the cottages, and armfuls from the rural hamlets, and up the wee lanes and so on. Some were raised in the great metropolis areas of this world. We think of the hymn that's sometimes sung, "Son, go bring my children home, for I want them gathered round my throne. It's time to reap the harvest you have sown. Son, go bring my children home." And no matter where that wheat had been grown, it'll be gathered into the barn. Friend, isn't that a lovely thought? The question is, will you be gathered in? Will you be in God's barn? Will you be gathered up for burning? You know, some of God's wheat grew in different kinds of fields. Some of it grew in a Baptist field. And some of it grew in a Presbyterian field. In a Reformed Presbyterian field. In a Free Presbyterian field. In a Church of Ireland field. In a Methodist field. And some of it came out of Roman Catholicism. People saved out of Rome. Others saved out of Islam. Out of Hinduism. But you know, friends, this amazing fact tonight, that once that wheat is gathered into the barn, you will not be able to tell what field it grew in. You go into a silo, a grain silo, and from maybe 3 or 4 different points in that silo, you lift one single grain. It's all the same, isn't it? But you can't tell what field it come from. And friend, on that day when God gathers the wheat into his barn, nobody will be able to tell the difference what field they came from, but they'll be gathered in. I wonder tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? I wonder, is he your friend? And friend, no doubt you've heard the gospel many times before, and you know that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. You say, yes, I have heard that. I could quote that verse to you. And what about the reality of your soul? Lord Jesus throws out that invitation to look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And friend, you and I can come just as we are. Come as a sinner to Jesus. You don't have to get yourself all dolled up. You just come as you are. And Jesus Christ will receive you. You come in faith and repentance and recognize, Lord, I have wandered away from you. Lord, I'm sorry for what I have done in my life. Lord, I realize what you did on the cross. You did it for me. Lord, I now repent. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And Lord, make me your child. And friend, if you pray along those lines tonight, the gospel promises, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will not cast you out. You can be the wheat gathered in, friend. And lastly, tonight there's the grain store. Seen in the word barn. God's heaven. God calls it my barn. The gathering of the wheat is done in our land today by a combine, as you know. That combine will cut down the crop. She will reap it. She will thresh it. She will winnow it. And that crop is cleaned as it is blown into the grain tank of the combine. It's all done in a one-pass system. But in Bible times, each of those processes was carried out separately. It was still carried out separately, even up in the 1800s. Then the next thing, the binder was made. Maybe an old binder drawn along with a pair of horses. Then the next thing, there was a binder pulled by a wee tractor. Maybe some of you can remember that scene in your childhood. And you can remember the wee Fergie or the wee McCormick B250 coming up the field with the Albion binder on behind her. And there would have been the sheaves gathered in, and then the crop would have been threshed. You think of the old thrasher. Used to be in existence in our land years ago. The old Garvey thrasher, made it from Aberdeen. Ransoms from Ipswich. And the Boyd thrasher from Dunfries, and the Marshall one from Gainsborough in Lincolnshire. It was a common sight across our countryside. And then the next thing, there was the invention of a combine that was actually pulled by a tractor. And then the next thing, there was a combine itself. But it was very different to what you and I know today. There was no grain tank on it. There was a platform on the side of the combine, and somebody stood there on that platform and they bagged the grain. Like the old Dania combine that there used to be. And somebody would have been there and they're bagging the grain, and they would have sewed it closed and put two lugs on it and just healed it off onto the ground. And maybe the wee farmer's wife was coming up the field with her wee T20 and the flat trailer, and somebody was there to throw the bags of grain onto the trailer. That's how it was brought home. And the next thing, it was a self-propelled combine where it was all put into the grain tank. Over in East Anglia and up in the way up in the north of Scotland in Aberdeenshire, that combine will maybe fill on the move into a trailer or into a chaser bin. And that chaser bin will then go to the gap where the lorry's sitting and fill the lorry. And away he'll go. The grain's taken to a grain store and it's tipped up there. If you go down to Athy in County Kildare, you'll see the grain stores of Liffey Mills. And you can see them from miles and miles around. Or the farm at home, where we live outside Omagh, whenever we grew barley, we had two separate grain silos. And the grain was blown up into those silos. Sometimes that grain is heaped up in a shed and is pushed up in a heap with a telehandler. If you head out to the American Midwest, in Oklahoma and Kansas, you will see the huge grain stores dotted along the skyline. And it's there beside a railway track, and the trains are filled, and then it's taken away to Santa Fe in California onto the ships to feed the world. You know, at home in Ireland years ago, the harvest was a much smaller scale. And the harvest was brought into an old stone building, an old barn. My granda, on the home farm down in Monaghan, had two rows of stone houses. One of them was the old barn. It wasn't very big, folks. You couldn't reverse a 135 with a cab into the barn. Tiny wee thing by today's standards. But it held all the flax. And it held all the oats that were harvested on the farm for the two Clydesdale horses. It was gathered into the barn. Friend, you can see the correlation between the physical and the spiritual. Harvest is complete here at this stage. In our text tonight, here's a reference to God's barn, the heavenly silo, where the saints are gathered home. We don't want our loved ones taken from us at any stage, sure we don't. We want to hold on to them, don't we? But you know, friends, when their lives are ripe, and of me having been saved by God's grace, God wants to bring his harvest home. But you and I want to hold on to it, don't we? Isn't that how Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer of John 17? He desired that his people be with me where I am. And for those whom the Lord has purchased salvation on the cross, he wants the wheat home. You know, if the wheat could speak and have a voice, I'm sure it would say to you and me that the ultimate destiny for which I was planted was God's barn. Lord, just take me home. No more wet, stormy old nights. No more hot, blazing days. Lord, just take me home. Yet you and I want to hold on, isn't that right? Every process of the wheat and the harvest tends towards the barn. Isn't that not true, folks? And it's the same with you and me. What are we in this world for? And where are we going? You know, for the Christian, that day will be the crowning day of their whole history. The ultimate destiny for which they were planted in the first place. God's barn. Where there'll be no mice, no rats, and no leaking roof. No damp on the walls and no mildew. You know, regarding God's barn in heaven, we read in Revelation 21, verse 27, there shall no wise enter into it, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven is God's barn, his grain store, the palace of the king, as it's referred to in Scripture, the home of many mansions, the dwelling of Christ. It's a place of security, it's the eternal rest of the soul. And I finish with this illustration. You all know what a combine's like. That combine cuts the crop down from Mother Earth. There's a folding into the combine by the header. That crop is then threshed. She separates the wheat from the straw. That wheat is then winnowed by the turbo fans in the combine. The wheat crop is cleaned, is blown up into the bin. And the straw and the chaff are sometimes mulched into pulp or spread along in a row behind to be baled up, later on to be tramped into dung in some cow pen. And friend, when the combine of death comes along and the harvest of this world is ripe, is reaped, will you be gathered into the grain store? Are mashed up into pulp in eternity to be trampled upon in God's judgment, eternally, forever and ever. Solemn thought. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The thief on the cross was assured of paradise that day. And friend, you can be assured of paradise as well. If you'll come as a sinner to Jesus, recognize that what he did on the cross, he did personally for me. You come and put your trust in him. And then on that day, you will be the wheat gathered into the barn. May God bless his word to your heart tonight. Amen.
I want to thank the Reverend Crane for giving us a report regarding the working convoy, and also for bringing us that solemn, but yet also comforting, if you're saved, that message from the Lord. We're going to sing just a few verses of the final hymn. It's hymn 233, if you're using a hymn book. And it says, "Once again the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord?" And we'll sing the first three verses of this hymn, remaining seated, and think upon the words as you sing them. Thank you. meeting this evening. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart to speak with our brother, Reverend Crane, or indeed with another person that you know as a Christian, please make sure you will be gathered into that barn. Make sure that you are right with the Lord, for no one knows what a day will bring forth. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel message. We thank you, Father, that it is indeed good news. For Father, while we are sinners in and of ourselves, worthy of being trampled into the dung, sent into the fire for all eternity, for our offense against an eternal God. Yet I want to thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, the greatest gift that could ever be given. You gave him to pay the debt for our sin. And Lord, it's simple tonight, and it's sure, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For us here, saved, Father, may we rejoice in your love to us and what we have to look forward to. Lord, gathering into the barn for which we were indeed sown. And Father, may the lost tonight come being challenged. May they come to Christ and may they be saved for time and eternity. Father, we thank you for the work that thou art doing in Convoy and the Republic of Ireland. Thank you, Father, for the outreach that has been done through the local congregation as well as through the ploughing outreach and the Consider Christ outreaches. Father, speak on through thy word. Thank you, Father, for souls that have been saved. Thank you, Father, for children that have been reached in the Bible clubs. Lord, continue to speak on through what has been done. And in thy will and in thy mercy, Father, may many more opportunities be given, whether it be in a community center, whether it be on a door, whether it be, Father, in the church itself, or, Father, whether it be in some other place, even in a hospital, Father, draw souls unto Christ. Glorify thy name. Thank you for the faithfulness of thy people and of thy servant. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Pray now, Lord, you'll take us to your homes in safety. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for your attendance this evening. It's been a delight to have you. May the Lord take you home safely.